let us go back to the passage of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 16, 17, 18, somewhere there. I believe we need about 17, 18. Let us hear the passage.
For if the dead raise not, then is not Christ risen, raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable.
Okay, you may stop there. That's verse what, 18 or 7?
19.
19. Yes, this was to be a part of the lesson this morning, but I usually at point feel that the audience listen long enough. So, one, Jesus Christ rested all his important claims upon his resurrection. Remember, that's what the passage is about. The entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 is about the fact that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. And this is important in our time, but it was especially important in the time when you have people like the Sadducees, the Epicureans and the Stoics. It was especially important then because it posed a threat or a challenge to Christianity. The fact that the church at Corinth could have been affected by this falsehood, either that there is no life after death, or that Christ is not risen, or that the resurrection is past, that men and women who have been taught the truth could be so negatively affected is serious. But people today are no less different. That's right, that's right. A person will sit and listen to the truth in respect, like to say, the plan of salvation for a good while, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And you allow a person with falsehood to come and speak to them 1 or 2 times, and before long, they are gone the other way. This was the situation at Corinth. Jesus Christ, as I've said, rested all of his important claim upon the resurrection. Jesus' sonship, that is Christ as the Son of God, was dependent on the resurrection according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Watch here, something which you know. Inspiration listed the main central job of the apostles as witnesses of his resurrection. everybody. That's something you ought to know. Just for your sake, let's run to Acts of the Apostle. Chapter 1, verse 22. Acts 1:22.
Beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness.
Read that again for us.
Beginning,
Brother Cunningham.
Beginning from the baptism of John. Unto that same day that he was taken up from us.
Yeah, listen this now.
Must one be ordained to be witness with us of his resurrection?
You get it? No, notice, the apostles were chosen that when they go all over the world and preach, it's the fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected. That's the main course. Everything else about the gospel, getting baptized, repenting of sin, all those are important, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that to which they must witness. When Paul's apostleship was questioned again in respect to the Corinthians, it was the fact that he had seen Jesus Christ with his biological eyes that he used as one of his defense. In other words, it was the fact that Christ is risen from the dead. When he asked the question in Corinthians, "Have I not seen the Lord?" implying that is important, that as an apostle, he can witness that he had seen Jesus Christ after Jesus' resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the seal. Did I say the seal? Yes, the seal of the power of Calvary. When we talk about Calvary, you see, just the word Calvary is thrown to us, are we to others, as a symbol of all that Jesus Christ accomplished there for our salvation. And the power of Calvary is in Jesus' resurrection. The real triumph achieved in Jesus Christ's death, that triumph is manifested in Christ's resurrection. But get this now. A person, and in books and other things, we have come upon this, where a person rationalizes or reasons that, you know, Christianity serves a good purpose in this life. It contributes to, well, it gives us a stable moral standard. It contributes to a life with certain degree of focus. And we can go on. And there are some authorities, some writers who will even push aside, watch here, the fact of the business of my living for eternity. That's not what motivates me. That's not what grabbed me with Christianity. A person will tell you the moral standard of Christianity and the stability of its moral qualities and all of that, but when a man dead is dead, I'm not sure about after death. And a person can reason like that. And if you are not careful, they get you. Brothers and sisters, yes, Christianity does contribute to a better life right here on earth. It does. But the real power, motivation, and hope and benefit in Christianity is not that it is good psychology, meaning it hinder many of us from getting off our head. It might help in that way, but that's not the benefit that Jesus Christ wants to grab us. It's not that it lead to a better life in the present world, and it does that. Christianity help for a better life as we go through this life. So, however true these points may be, even when we consider the superior virtues of Christianity, even when we consider the elevated morality that Christianity teaches, those are not the thing that Jesus Christ intend to really hold us firm. It is what Christianity promised after death. That is what Jesus Christ wants to hold us. Christ, Calvary, Christianity, real benefit and reward and glory will be experienced in the life to come after our resurrection. So when you're, I'm a reading book and people is telling the good thing that Christianity does now, and it does. And thanks be to all the good things it contributes to life now. It enables a man or a woman to bear his cross as we go through this life. But you know what? We bear the cross of the challenges of life now because we know beyond this life we shall also wear Jesus' crown. The greatest promise to be found in Christianity is not to be found in all the great things it does for life in the present world. And it does contribute to great things in this present life. But the greatest benefit of Christianity comes after our resurrection. So we come back now to the point. So it's on that basis. As if it were, Paul was saying, if you are only looking on the good that you get from Christian, if you permit these false devilment that is among you, teaching you that there's no life after death and there's no resurrection and the resurrection is bad, if you have been fooled by that, if you have been deceived by that, if you have been taken in by that, and if these false teachers are pointing out to you, well, yes, you still ought to live the Christian life because of what it does for you now. And if you are claiming to follow Christ based on the present benefit that Christianity may give, Paul said, look here, you were not only deceived. He's saying, of all the people that have been deceived, you are the worst. That's what the passage means, you know, that if it's only in this life we have hope, notice, we are of all men most miserable. That is, of all the people who have been deceived, the deception, the obia catch us most or more effectively. It's on that point that people who soul enhance the religious falsehood of the first century and in some quarters today, they could list some good things that you benefit from now in this life while you strive to live the Christian life. Some of them would reason so. If you once believe in a resurrection, there's no resurrection, but it's good to live the Christian life. No. You are deceived. And Jesus Christ doesn't want us to live the Christian life based and what it gives us now. Think about that. I repeat, Christ doesn't want us to hold to Christianity simply because of the high moral standard that it offers, the stability of its ethics and morality and all that. Christ doesn't want us to be Christian based on that. Christ wants us, while we acknowledge that Christianity does contribute to a stable life here and now, Jesus Christ wants us to center our hope, one, on the resurrection that we are going to experience and what comes after that resurrection. That is what Jesus Christ meant to hold us and to keep us. So even if a man or woman comes and trying to persuade you that, yes, Christianity has some present benefits, so even if you get nothing beyond death, it's still a good thing to be a Christian. No. Among the things Paul is also pointing out is that it's never good to be deceived. It's never good to hold on a falsehood that is deceptive. If only in this life, if all that Jesus Christ and Christianity has to offer is that it gives me a meaningful life here and now, then Paul is saying, if you believe that, you have been deceived, and that's quite terrible for you. I'm not going to go down this. Let me just touch on it. And you may go and check on it, but if and when we look at the lesson, most likely it could be a morning lesson too. We will not look at it tonight. Let me just give you a hint. In the same passage, in fact, there's so much to come from this passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And probably because of the awesome, important subject of Christ's resurrection that it deals with, there's so many areas of lesson discussion we can have. But when Paul began the book, the chapter rather, he lists five eye-opening, interesting things in the first two verses. Yes, there are simple things to read over. One Sunday night, we will look at them. The gospel is something that you received. In fact, first, he implied that it's not something that he invented. And that is important. It was not from the figment of Paul's imagination. Then he lists five or six things that we must keep in mind. We will make this a study for either one Sunday morning or a Sunday night. Take the third point. It was something in which or by which they were being saved. Not something in which you have been saved. That's right. When we look at this, I'm going to show you the difference between that statement and another statement that is in keeping with the original language. Not something in which you have been saved. But something, well, let it stay until the lesson is discussed now. Because I may get tempted to start getting into the lesson. Very important that we learn to hold on to the gospel. And that the five or six things Paul mentioned there to the Corinthians, he was telling them that they need to keep those things in mind, and that will keep them stable in Christ. Thank you.